B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kucherov, center point, Chernak.
No giveaway.
Back for Kucherov, right circle. Trying to center it. Savard to block. Trying to clear for Anderson. Anderson out to center ice, looking toward the open net. He's after that rebound, and he keeps it alive for Stamkos.
Oh,
lost to Panarin, and he scores.
I can't believe what I just saw.
Kucherov holds.
No.
Over the stick of point.
Here we go.
And it rolls out to center ice. Texier is going to have an empty net goal here. Yep. Puck is still loose behind the Columbus goal. It's grabbed by Duchesne. Lifts it toward the open net. And that goes in. Everything coming up roses for Columbus. That'll make it 7-3.
This is the Columbus Blue Jackets goal song. Pretty good.
Oh, gee, I thought it was Toronto.
Pretty good. Columbus Blue Jackets sweep the Lightning right out of the playoffs. Unbelievable. I mean, really, it's hard to believe.
Did you see the pathetic tweet?
I'm stunned.
What are they doing?
Everyone's stunned.
Why do they keep the net empty with a minute and a half left in the game and it's 6-3?
Just to be dicks. Like, you know what? It's bad.
Because I'll tell you why. Because you've quit and it's over and you know it.
Yeah.
That's why. So who
cares? It's alive for Stamkos. Lost to Panarin. He scores.
Espo on the call. Tampa Bay Lightning Radio Network.
Put the goalie back in. You know, just enough.
Did you see the Tampa Twitter? Did you see their own Twitter? The team's Twitter? We have no words to express it. We have no answers. Not that you want to hear it. We are as stunned as you are. Who puts that out? What team? Did the Patriots do one when Philly kicked their ass in the Super Bowl? Did you apologize to everybody?
First time that a regular season champion has been swept out in the opening round. And so it's historic in many ways. And so now the Lightning are gone. They're out of the playoffs. And it's shocking, but it's also exciting.
Wake up, Bruins!
Exciting.
Wake the F up. Let's go.
For both the Bruins and the Lightning. But the Lightning... I'm sorry.
Leafs.
Excuse me. Leafs.
Yes.
I do that a lot.
Yeah.
for the Leafs. And you've got to wonder if anybody in this series, Bruins and Leafs, is just peering ahead just a little bit, knowing that the door is ajar. Although, Columbus is lighting the world on fire right now. So it's not like Columbus sucks. They're playing well.
It's different, though. It's different. It gives you a level of confidence. I remember when we had a Super Bowl in 97 when we're never going to be Denver.
Denver got
Jacksonville
popped.
Pops them. Bring them here. Oh, they wanted Denver. Give me a break. Bring them in here. Bring them in. Let's go. The matchup. You love the matchup. This better wake that first lineup, baby. That Bergeron, Pastrnak. Let's go. Let's get this thing
going. Well, you just heard. I don't know if you heard Cassidy at the top of the hour there. If they don't get something going, start shuffling that thing.
Good.
Start moving things around a little bit.
So what did he say in that clip that you played? Can you play it again?
Sure.
Because I think this is becoming the story of the series is we know the top line is the story, but how the coach handles that top line going all the way back to game one when he decided not to make any tweaks in game. And said David Pastrnak, among others, really didn't bring much to the table. So what was the point?
Right. Yes, could change quickly. Met with them today, went over a few things. I think they recognize where they've left offense on the table.
So the question was, I believe, something, you know, are you top line intact for the start of game four tonight?
Yes, could change quickly.
Yes.
So, yeah, if they don't show him something in the first period.
Yep.
Watch second period tonight. See what the lines look like second period tonight if something doesn't get going for those three guys to start this game tonight.
Just the fact that he is saying that, doesn't that lead you to believe that if things don't go well, he must make a change? You can't say that and then not do anything.
Of course.
And that tells you, it's a sense of urgency that, hey, and this is what he's done. This is what he's done with the goalie, right? You've called the goalie out publicly. And we're telling you, hey, I went in there and told him, this is what we got to do. And he knows we got two goalies. I won't hesitate if things don't look right. I did it all year. He's got that to fall back on, so it's not a lot of BS he's feeding him. I want to just tell him, guys, this could change quickly if you don't fix it quickly.
And I understand the reluctance. I mean, Pastrnak, and Ty and I talked a lot about this yesterday. Pastrnak is the most talented guy on the team, Marchand is the guy who's turned into the guy that you legitimately have to be worried about as an elite scorer in the NHL. We all know what Bergeron is, but we've also been conditioned, and I feel like as a Bruins fan, conditioned over the years watching Claude Julien with extreme reluctance to change much of anything.
I can't wait for this game tonight. I can't wait now.
And reluctance based on what, you know, what this top line has been able to produce for the team throughout the season. However, shuffling the lines around is something that has become rather commonplace for teams going on and being successful with it. We saw the Blackhawks doing it, you know, during their run. They weren't afraid to change lines in the middle of the postseason, in the middle of a series, in the middle of a game. Hey, it's not working. Let's change things around a little bit. It's kind of like the goalie situation.
Yep.
You don't have to ride the same guy, ride with Tuukka or die. No, if it's not working, you change it up. You go with what's working. So if it's not working in the first period tonight, that's when you start to look for it.
This is appointment viewing, man. This is, and I know.
Oh,
there's,
is it?
thanks, sports boy. I know, and I know we got a Celtics game. They will double up the Celtics tonight at a minimum in rating. They will crush the Celtics in a
Red Sox, Yankees, 6:30. Celtics at 7. Bruins at 7.
Bruins will crush.
That's a good question. Who will do better tonight?
Bruins
What's
will
one,
crush
two, three?
The Celtics in rating.
Why do you say that though, Zoe?
Because being up 1-0 in the series.
I think
and game one was garbage.
Yeah, but you're games are generally tight this time of year. It's Indiana versus Boston. You saw how that game was kind of.
I just know that the
fest.
Celtics do better than the Bruins historically, ratings
based on. You know what's in front of you now, okay? If this doesn't get your ass off the couch to watch this Bruins game tonight, you're nuts.
I'm going to have a hard time watching the Celtics.
It's going to be hard. Thank you.
I won't lie.
If that game's tied,
I'm
going to
have a hard time watching Celtics. First of all, the quality of play in that first game was not so great. I mean, it wasn't completely worthless, but it was close. And the expectation that the Celtics just steamroll the Pacers. So it's sort of hard to focus on that over what is going to, you know, play out in this Bruins game, because tonight sort of decides if the Bruins are going to have a shot to win this series.
It's almost must win. I don't want to call it a must win.
I don't want them to be down 3-1 because I don't like their odds. I don't like their chances being down 3-1 in this series, the way that Tampa has played in this series.
You gotta, what about Evaldi? Evaldi's getting the start tonight.
Who's
catching? Is Leo catching?
National and local on all three.
What's that? On all three?
All three. Wow. Six networks, three games.
Has that ever happened?
I don't know. You got ESPN and NESN Plus for the Red Sox. You got NESN and NBC Sports Network for the Bruins. And you got TNT and NBC Sports Boston.
Sports!
For the Celtics.
I'm not going to say anything bad.
Why?
About NESN, because I did it last year and I got people very upset.
Why?
About the type of picture that was put out there. Remember the NESN Plus picture? The Bruins game was all foggy.
Oh, that's right.
It was
terrible. Yeah,
it was terribly. It was like, you know when you watch old NFL
games? I checked
games
on the Red Sox on that channel last week, and there were no issues.
It was like it was not high def. Well, that's different.
Yeah, I saw it last week. It was fine.
Okay,
good.
You're fine.
Good.
Remember?
I'm just saying, hope they fix
it. Remember, it was like only certain towns that had that issue, too?
You didn't have an issue.
I didn't have an issue with it.
He did.
Now you have options.
You have plenty of options tonight.
Options. You can go to another station.
There you go.
And there you go. It's appointment viewing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Must watch TV, says Zoe.
So figure out those ratings. That's
F you.
I mean, is it must win?
Double Fingal Barrels.
It's damn close.
Fingal
Barrels. It's damn close to a must win game. It's damn close. Are the Bruins capable of coming back from 3-1? I think they're capable.
Another hot take.
I think they're capable.
It's must watch.
But I don't like that spot.
Close, must win, he says. Two hot takes right here, boy.
Mathematically, you know it's not a must win.
Hey, Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak, especially Pasternak, really need to get their heads out of
it. I'll tell you what, you smart ass. I got something for you on that front.
Nice.
For you on that first line front. Some statistics on the first line for the Bruins that'll blow your mind and tell you the story of how these playoff games have gone between Boston and Toronto. We'll get to that coming up next with your calls on the Bruins.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
7878.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hear me flow now, hear me go now, hear me flow now. You guys are going to be laughing. I just went in during the break. I cut a commercial for pork. I couldn't get through the read. Pork.
It's the other white meat.
It's the other white meat. I didn't know there was a white. First white meat.
That would be chicken.
That's still their tagline 25 years later?
I know it's chicken, but I told you I went to Greece and I ordered that T-bone steak and it was white. And they said, that's cows. I eat different grass here. Just eat it. Said something like T-bone. But stick a head up a butcher's. All right. What numbers you got there, Chooch?
Okay. I got some numbers for you. I got some numbers. These are the Bruins numbers for their top line going over 10 games that have now been played between last playoff series between these two teams and the three in this series. 10 games total. Do you know what the Bruins record is in the 10 games? They won last year's series. Plus one this year.
Dead even?
5-5.
Yeah, dead even.
Dead even through the 10 playoff games they've played between last year and this year. In the five wins.
Gee, let me guess, the first line did well.
Our
hot takes.
You don't want to hear this?
Yeah, I do. It's got to be so lopsided.
I doesn't want to hear anything today.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what he wants to do.
You should go ride your train home.
There he goes. He wants to talk about choo-choo trains. That's what he wants to do. In those five wins, Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak, combined. I'll give you the combined numbers first. A total of 11 goals and 23 assists. Here's the individual breakdown. Marchand, 4 goals, 7 assists in the five wins with a plus 10. Bergeron, 2 goals, 7 assists with a plus 7. And Pastrnak, 5 goals, 9 assists, plus 14 is what he is in the 5 wins over these 10 playoff games. In the 5 losses, combined, the 3 of them combined have a goal.
Single.
They have 1 assist on that 1 goal. And you've got Marchand with a minus 9, Bergeron with a minus 6. Pastrnak with a minus 7.
Jesus.
That's not just a difference. That is worlds apart. How they've played when the team wins, how they've played when the team loses. Meaning the wins and losses are largely dependent on how those guys play.
Yeah.
So it is not unfair to look at this Bruins team and say, where the hell are you, Patrice Bergeron? Where are you, David Pastrnak? Marchand, we need more from you. You're reverting back to the old playoff, Marchand. We need more. You need more from that top line. That top line is not just, oh, you need more from them. They're your top line. No. They've pretty much determined how these games have gone in the playoffs between these two teams.
That's why it's imperative that the coach shakes it up if it's something's not working.
If it ain't working, you got to do something.
You got to juggle stuff. Got to be proactive. There's no tomorrow, man. You lose this one tonight, you're staring up at the bottom of the hill, staring up, and you're down 3-1. I hate those games, man. You're back against the wall, must win. Hate those. Or you're eliminated. I hate them. I don't want to be there.
617-779-0985. Chad's in Medford. Chad, go ahead.
Yeah, hear me out, Beetle. Now, like Zoe said, this is a must win tonight because Tuukka, even when he's playing good, he's just average. He ain't the type of goal. If we go down to lose tonight, he can't steal a game for us. Now, we know the top line's got to play better. which they should. We got our players got to outscore theirs. But no, it's a plus, too. You got Johansson coming back. Charlie Coyle is playing pretty good this series. And this is why they got Johansson and Coyle. That third line is pretty good with Johansson healthy playing tonight. So if the top line goes and then we get something out of the second, third line, we should be all right. Because if we go down 3-1, I have no faith in them coming back. Everybody says, oh, it's Toronto. This is a different Toronto team. So we have to win tonight.
Feels that way. It feels like they're a different team now than what they were a year ago. It didn't really translate against the Bruins in the regular season. It feels like it's translating right now.
They're tough to play,
especially
when they get
with
that
Tavares line.
Especially when they get that lead too, and the way they play and the style they play with, and how they protect it and sink back. It's almost like the old Capitals, man. You just don't want to get back or that trap. Oh no, no, thank you.
Joel is in Rantham. Hi, Joel.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey,
you sure you don't want to still be talking about graduation speech length and JJ Watt?
This is our angry Bruins fan. You got a take today, Joel?
No, I do. And first, before I get to my take, last time I called, I asked to talk about the Bruins, and the intern answering the phones said not right now. So I called back with the fake Red Sox take.
And then you hung
That's
up.
That's what I wanted.
And then you hung up.
Yeah. Well, you.
What was the take?
What was the take? What was the take? Let's hear it.
Bruins. Yeah. David Backes. There's rumors going around he's going to be the healthy scratch tonight if Marcus Johansson's set to go. That cannot be the case. We need David Backes. If you remember in game two, it was him all over the ice banging bodies. If you just watched last night, they had Josh Anderson on Columbus. That guy is an absolute animal. And that's what you need right now against this team. We're missing Kevin Miller, which stinks, and our D are really short right now. We got Grizzlick and Krug both in the lineup. I don't love that, but that's kind of with the injuries that it's kind of where we are right now. We need size in the lineup. We need some muscle, and he cannot be sitting. Thanks, guys. I'll listen out.
I agree that it worked in game two, but they tried it, and they played a good first period in game three, and it didn't matter. It was Toronto's speed, especially through the neutral zone, that killed you. And their breakouts from their own end and the way they were able to get the puck into the Bruins zone. And no amount of, you know, David Backes's strength or physicality was going to stop that in game three. Mm. So
They look slower in game three than they did one.
I understand the reluctance on both sides of this one. I don't know what the answer is when it comes to David Backes and where he fits in the Bruins game plan tonight, because they have to change a couple things up. I think most of it's defensively, so maybe that helps you, you know, ease some of the concern.
Yeah, or stop turning the puck over like they've done a million times, feels like, in this series in the offensive zone.
But if you're going to keep Backes active, it's not going to be at the expense of Johansson. You're going to have Johansson active.
Joe.
And if you want to keep, is it Johansson?
Jojo. Yeah. His nickname's Jojo, Jim.
No, but you know what? I've heard the announcers calling him Johansson again this series, which is what the
pronunciation. Well, they have a Johansson on Toronto, too, so it's difficult.
Johansson, that one bothers me.
Johansson is weird.
But it's two S's, so that's
tip off. You know, but if you're going to activate, you're not going to sit Johansson for Backes. If you're going to have Backes activated, you're going to have somebody else sitting, right? I would assume. Get Nordstrom out of there. What's Nordstrom done in this series? Anything?
Right. No, you're right. I just go back to the game two when, by the end of game two, you're questioning whether or not it was right that they didn't have Backes in game one, which I don't think is a good second guess at all. We had a caller on Monday who asked that question. Is that a second guess now? But there is a benefit to having Backes on the ice. You saw it on the Coyle goal. He goes behind the net, and you've got guys from Toronto who are like recoiling. But Toronto looked to play a little bit more of a physical style when they got back home, did they not? It felt like they were far more physical in Game 3 than they were in either of the first two games.
Yeah, they killed Pasternak. Killed him.
They were much more ready for that, playing at home. 617-779-0985. Ben's in Foxborough. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how you guys doing? I just wanted to get your take on why Kuhlman's still in the lineup. I mean, I think he's played well, but I don't think it's a good series for him, so that was all. I just wanted to get your take on it, and I'll hang up.
You can put him on that list too, of guys you could send upstairs.
Nice floor their ass. Yeah,
I don't know what floor number it is.
Yeah, not there. Probably six.
Yeah, seven.
Up there at home where they played.
Kadri was pretty high up that last game when they showed him cheering up there.
Yeah, very high. Kadri, very, very high.
That's weird that the suspended guys get to be in the building.
Why are they allowed to be in the building if you're suspended?
I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, he can get the crowd going if they show him on the Jumbotron. There's a lot of like elements to that.
If that's going to affect the way you play, or some guy up there in his street clothes, give me a break.
I thought that was weird, too. It's like, what,
to begin with.
Why is he allowed to practice? You know, why is he allowed to be there?
That's a good point, because when Draymond Green got suspended for that game, he had to watch a game from the other arena.
Yes.
Right? They put him in a suite.
Yeah. He's over in the Oakland A's in the Coliseum.
I remember that.
Watching a baseball game.
Weird stuff I remember, huh?
Brady wasn't watching the games from Gillette when he was suspended.
No, you're not allowed to. You'd get booted.
He was in France on a boat.
No, there is something wrong with that. There is wrong with the league allowing a suspended player to be there.
You're right. You're right on that. I guess that is odd.
Disciplinary action.
Yep.
You can still go to the arena. Did they show him on the Jumbotron? Did that happen?
No, they showed him on the broadcast after the Leafs' goal.
Okay. Hmm. Can you imagine him waving the flag before the game out the window? Out the booth, waving the flag,
Get Jim off.
Get the crowd all jacked up. But they seem to have rallied around this there, as opposed to last year when it impacted them as a team.
So Matthews didn't stand there and want to whip ass at mid-ice, huh? See, they just went out and played their game, and they went and beat.
You're smart.
Yep. Everybody's like, oh, they need to change it all, Sean Avery. Yeah. He'd set the tone
crowd. That's why Babcock is coaching the team.
Yeah.
Coaching. He's coaching instead of Sean Avery.
Did a good job not getting caught up moments. On that crap.
Yeah. Making moments up there. Right? Phyllis and Saugus on the Bruins tonight. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Doing well.
Never called this line before. I always talk to Felger and...
I've heard you on their show, Phyllis.
Okay. My thing with this Bruins team...
Barber now.
Two things. They better come out tonight. I better see it in the first period because I'm an Advent hockey fan. I better see them hitting everything in sight, number one. But naturally, I want it to be legal. I don't want them to get into trouble. Number two, Marshy is my favorite player on the entire team. I love him. He's a little ball of hate, but I love him. He is so afraid to whack somebody because he feels, and I can see it, it's in his head. I can see it every time he wants to hit somebody, that he thinks if he hits somebody, he's going to get thrown out for the entire season. And how the NHL... Well, my point is, if they want to win this game tonight, they have to come out and check and check and check. They have to play...
You wanted to play physical like they did in game two. Now, at the end of game three, what upset me, and I think to your point about Marchand thinking... They fought too much at the end of that game. They're looking for the perfect pass. They're trying to be perfect. They're trying to set people up instead of just crashing at them, that taking a shot if you have it. How many times at the end of that game where you're down one goal and you're there, you've got the look, and you don't take the shot because you're looking for the extra dish. Too many passes.
Piece of information from Matt Porter, covers the Bruins for the Boston Globe. He said optional skate for the Bees this morning. Moore and Johansson still game time decisions, but Cassidy says trending well. Kuhlman would come out for Johansson. Camper would be out for Moore, which means Backes is still in, Joel and Rentham. So you don't have to worry about that. Good?
Yes.
All good.
Yeah.
And that means, Phyllis, they can be checking right from the get-go. Phyllis. They can play a physical style the same way that they did in Game 2 with David Backes in the lineup. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls on the Bruins. Also last night, Chris Sale went out and didn't do so well again. He got roughed up, while on the other side, James Paxton spun a gem for the Yankees against this Red Sox lineup. We'll touch on that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I don't want to say it's a work in progress because we're not here to you know, like, build up whatever, but it feels that, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if he's next out and, you know, he's right where we need him to be. I think stuff-wise, you compared it to the first three, the velocity was there, the slider was a lot better today, so I think he's very close to the real, I mean, quote-unquote, the real Chris Sale.
Alex told us that he thought your next start might look like the real Sale based on your stuff tonight. Do you share that confidence?
Well, you better hope so.
How are you feeling about the Red Sox right now? Yowza.
Same you did day one.
Man, do they suck. And they
that's
don't.
Embarrassing.
I mean, Remy was
that.
Right, though.
Remy got
he
on
called
him.
It embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
It is starting to get embarrassing for the Red Sox.
They didn't have Judge. They didn't. Oh, excuse me. They didn't have Stan. They didn't have Gregorius. They didn't have Sanchez. They didn't have their big hitters. And he rocked you. So he did have some of his stuff? Is that what he was saying?
Per the Elias Slider Sports Bureau, it's now the worst Red Sox starting ERA through 18 games ever. The previous high mark was 6.96, set back in Hardy. Yeah, my lord.
Imagine.
1931.
What would this game have been?
The Great Depression rolls on through this land of ours, and the very depressed Red Sox... Stinko.
I'm just glad Swire didn't catch this, because it would have been a 14-15 nothing game.
The rotation's ERA now stands at 7.18 as a group. But I think last night the fact that they had a new catcher in there,
baby steps,
really made the difference. Sale, I don't think, looked better. Sale had better velocity, and as soon as he ramped it up, he couldn't have any little bit of control.
His ERA, no control. He gave up four runs in five innings, and that actually lowered his ERA.
Isn't that terrible? That's how bad he's been. So I can look at it in a positive way. Here's my positive outlook on it. The fact is the velocity was back in some way, shape, or form. Control, you can adjust, you can fix. But it was ugly, once again, for Chris Sale. That's the takeaway.
Did you say that? I think a nuclear illusion.
Still not there.
Hit me with the baseball. I'll give you one shot. He breaks the mirror.
But did you guys see Sandy Leon back there?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. Did that make the difference?
He had that cool strikeout where he missed that sinker ball by about 5 inches. He swung.
Sandy Leon.
It's not even close.
Oh, and he was great at the plate, too. 0 for 3. He's back. He's back, baby. He's back.
Sandy time.
Oh, it's Sandy time. Absolutely Sandy time.
Hold on. I have some potentially bad news here. Is this what you were expecting in terms of sheer numbers, Jim?
That's the max.
Okay. No. All right. So it's the max. Nick Underhill, Patriots beat writer.
Oh, no. It's night games, isn't it?
It is. He covers the Patriots for the Athletic Boston. He has... Patriots with 5 primetime games.
The max.
The one that has already been reported on by Evan Lazar, and Jeff Howe has it now too. The opener, Sunday night against Pittsburgh. October 10th, that's a Thursday against the Giants. Monday night football, October 21st.
Wait a minute. Thursday, is that home or away? That's home. Ooh.
That's home.
Nice.
October 21st, Monday night football at the Jets.
What?
We'll see you Tuesday morning, Zell. See you Tuesday morning back here in Boston.
It's a quick flight back.
Yeah.
No, but you're going to spend the whole day in Newark.
He'll be home before I am.
2 days, Sunday and Monday.
No!
November 3rd, Sunday this year, got to be.
I'll take your word for it, sure. What's the point?
My sister's birthday.
Oh, good. Happy birthday.
At Baltimore.
Nice.
December 1st, at Houston.
Nice.
And the opener is Steelers.
Yes.
No home primetime games after no home Sunday nights or Monday nights after opening week.
Like that home opener.
All on the road.
That's good. That's a good opener. Pittsburgh. Get a good quarterback coming in. You got Juju. It's a good test for you out of the gate. And you really, from a CBS perspective and the ratings, because Pittsburgh, New England will do a big one week one. That Chiefs Pats game, that will be protected by CBS. And that tells me that Dallas at New England will be protected. Another 431 Fox, right? CBS would protect Chiefs at New England. That'll be a 430. And that's, again,
Browns, Cowboys, Chiefs, no primetime.
No way. Yep.
It's kind of a surprise.
But two of those would be protected, Jim. Ratings blockbusters for both networks. You know what I mean? Interesting that like Browns wouldn't be a Monday Night Football one. That would make sense. Browns Monday Night Football.
Game. I'm not saying anything bad about Nick Underhill, but I always like caution these reports that come out beforehand. Like I hopefully he knows. Hopefully it's solid. But we've had a lot of reports over the years.
I'll say this: Hal doesn't screw it up. Hal won't screw this one up. If Hal gets it, puts it out there, he's got it.
Year. Got nothing.
I'm still waiting.
Not a single text.
Still waiting.
Nothing.
They're all going to the Athletic.
Do you know what it is? I think we spoiled the fun the last couple of years.
Aww. Everybody got so angry.
I know. Pretty more pissed.
You texted Jeff Howe. You giving him all the information.
Not a damn thing.
Stop it. No. God forbid you have other sources within the industry. My God.
Yeah, nobody says they're New England
sources. Everybody's
angry. Not team sources.
Right.
Right? 617-779-0985. Alan in California on the Red Sox. Hey, Alan.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just real quick. They've played 18 games, and they have pitched 2 shutouts. In the remaining 16 games, including the 4 games that they've won, they've allowed 114 runs. In the 4 games they won, they've allowed 19 runs. So 114 runs in those 16 games. What's up?
Yeah,
have a good one, guys.
Their run differential is putrid. It's really bad. They haven't scored runs. They haven't hit well. They haven't pitched well. They've done nothing well. What have they done well? You just look at this team and say, what's gone good for this team? Who's playing well? Mitch Moreland?
What, JBJ had a couple nice
Mitch
wall
Moreland's
catches.
Been good. Yeah, that's where, you know, begins and ends.
Mitch has showed power, and you've caught the
ball. Xander Bogaerts had a big home run the other day.
They do nothing really well. They really don't. David Price?
He pitched well the other day. Has he been good on the balance of the season?
He's been your best pitcher.
No.
Yeah, he's been your best pitcher. Sorry. He's been your best pitcher.
617-779-0985. More thoughts on the Red Sox. Your thoughts on the Bruins. And we're getting bits and pieces of the Patriots schedule as it comes out today. All of this is on the table with more of it on the way right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand. That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
There is a 2-0. Swung on and into the inner deep right. That ball is high. Mid is far. It is gone. Second deck. It's a 3-run home run from Mike Tauchman. The sock man. He hits a 3-run drive into the second deck in right. And the Yankees have blown it open. They have a 7-0 lead.
Absolutely horrible, horrible call by John Sterling. And that's what Jack.
Tauchman, the sock man.
Tauchman, the sock man. That's who hit one out on you. He didn't even have anything ready to go. He didn't think it was going to be a home run. Well, it did. Terrible call. That guy. Tauchman?
What happened with Sandy Leone last night? How come he didn't save the Red Sox? That's my point today. How come he didn't save everybody last night? Why didn't the catching situation solve all their problems?
It's manager. It's manager's guy, right?
By the way, did you know that 20... By the way, this catcher's ERA thing... keeps getting thrown around on Blake Swihart.
Yeah.
We didn't spend too much time thinking about it yesterday.
Well, Leone's was 0.00 going into the game yesterday,
It's catcher's ERA now.
I know that.
I mean, he caught every inning last night, right? Yeah. He didn't come out of the game.
So 8?
He's got an ERA of 8.
Yeah.
He didn't get replaced in the late innings, right?
It's actually higher because the Yankees didn't have to bat in the 9th inning.
Oh, that's right.
So it's an ERA of 9. 8 runs over in 8 innings.
Yeah. 9. Perfect 9. He's got an ERA of 9. That's right. The Yankees didn't bat in the 9th inning. Oh, very good. Excellent. A couple of things on that. That when you're talking about catcher's ERA, this is why you have to be careful with those numbers. When your sample size isn't good and you're talking about Blake Swihart, 20 of his last 23 starts had pitchers such as, I mean, this is a list. murderer's row of pitchers. Drew Pomeranz, Jalen Beeks, William Cuevas, Velasquez, Brian Johnson. 20 starts with that pile of crap that he is responsible for the ERA? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. So let's stop throwing around the catcher's ERA. But I'm just surprised. I thought Sandy Leon would have Chris Sale throwing 99 miles an hour and hitting the strike zone consistently last night. It didn't quite happen for the Red Sox. And then the Red Sox went to their bullpen. How'd you enjoy that experience last night?
How do you like
Erasmo Ramirez?
When do they stop wearing a number 42? When are they going to stop it? When are they going to stop it?
Listen, I love that they honor Jackie Robinson.
It's cute. It's nice.
They
got to
do this for a day. Yeah. One day only.
Well, the Yankees weren't playing Monday. That's why.
Do it on a Sunday. They did it Sunday. Weren't they wearing them Sunday, too?
It's April 15th every year, though.
So
no, they did it Monday morning when we were at...
They did not do it Sunday?
I mean...
I believe just Monday morning, yeah. Jackie Robinson Day is the 15th. And
put
if a team
42
doesn't play
all
the
over
15th,
the stadium.
Okay,
plaster
so they only
it,
had 2 days of it, 2 games of this. It was Monday and last night.
Only because the Yankees were off Monday.
All right, that's acceptable.
I don't know who's who anymore.
That's
really
acceptable.
Don't.
But it does drive you a little crazy.
It's tough to watch.
It is. It's hard. It's a nice way to pay tribute, but it's watching the game. If you actually care about what's going on in the game, it doesn't make things easy.
Right. I can tell Betts with the shoes.
You guys wear numbers. I would like them to maybe think about going to like a big 42 on the sleeve or something.
Thank you. Or the hat.
Not a patch. Not a patch because patches just blend in. Everyone wears a patch for everything now. I'm talking about doing something unique. Like putting a large 42 on the sleeve of jerseys or something. Something.
Big ones on your hat.
Because you're watching the game and it's just... You can't figure out who's who, especially on the opposing teams. On the opposing team, you're like, who was that? Which guy was that?
Especially when you're Yankees and you got six people out and you have no clue who these other people are.
Yes. Here's something else, by the way, on the Sandy Leon, Blake Swihart matter. Dave Dombrowski said there was a split camp. This is a tweet from Pete Abe yesterday, 4:39 in the afternoon. So Dombrowski spoke down in the Bronx. He said there was a split camp on whether to keep Leon or Swihart out of spring training and that he made the final call. Sox officials were quick to volunteer that no pitchers requested Leon's return, which probably means they did. Good job, Pete Abe. Way to be cynical. I like that. So they went out of their way to say, well, none of the players were asking for this. This was just us. But what Dave Dombrowski is saying is with a split camp, whether to keep Leon or Swihart, he made the call. Dave Dombrowski picked Swihart out of camp. He wanted Swihart, and he made the call. Which means his manager, who spent 90 minutes behind closed doors the other day when they lost at home to Baltimore, they spent 90 minutes after the game behind closed doors. John Tomasi shared that on television last night with us. What was being talked about during the 90 minutes, and how is it that the manager, Alex Cora, got his way and got Sandy Leon back onto the roster? This is Cora's decision. And Dave Dombrowski still, I guess, shares some of the blame because he allowed him to make that call. Dave Dombrowski didn't stand his ground the way that he did a month ago. So Alex Cora is the guy to look at. Is it a panic move? Yes, it is.
Yes.
And if it's a panic move, what does that tell you about the manager? Is he panicking?
It's starting to be a panic move because it's indicative because of what your record is. Because now you're, what, 6-12? Oh, my God. I can't even say this. You're 6-12?
This is the first time that we've seen Alex Cora, as manager of the Red Sox, face some actual adversity. And we're going to get a chance to see if he's capable of pulling the team out of it.
I mean, we get the joking tweets and replies and texts, you know, fire the manager. Like, they got to make a move. Give me a break. Not going to fire the manager yet.
No, he's not getting fired.
Of course he's not.
No, but it's a question of how does he handle this?
Right. Split vote. Who voted that he had to decide on the split vote? Meaning Dombrowski as to when to bring him up. Like, how many people vote? How many votes are there?
I think there's two. It's him and Cora.
Okay. So we're going to talk
about
it.
Cora wanted Leon.
You vote.
He
vote. I make the call anyway. So why even vote? Just stupid. Makes no sense. So what do you even say that for? It's a split vote. I make decisions. So it's my decision. Don't even say you voted. Why even throw the other guy out there?
That's what he said.
Yeah. I know that. Doesn't even have to state that. See, I make the
decision. Wait, you don't think there's a piece of information there that he wanted Swihart and he's telling you that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now he's publicly outing his manager.
Why are you outing? Why are you playing his
he's
games?
He's outing his manager, right? That's so my point. He might not be happy with the guy.
Keep it in-house. He's not himself.
He's choosing not to, which begs a question. What's the rift between the GM and the manager? What are the issues there?
Does the manager get more stroke than maybe he should because he won?
So for 90 minutes on Monday, did Alex Cora sit there and just pound Dave Dombrowski over the head that he needs Sandy Leon back to fix things? And then Dave Dombrowski said, go ahead, genius. Have him. Let's see if it changes anything.
Watch him at the plate.
Let's see if that's the reason why the pitchers haven't pitched well. Because he chose yesterday to tell you. Dave Dombrowski said, wasn't me. That we were split, and I made the call to put Swihart on the team. And now we're going the other direction. We're trying the other guy's way.
Nothing like giving him a lengthy little test here, meaning the Swihart kid. So you make him your number one over, you make him your first round pick, what, 5 years ago, 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the sampling size you're going to get him, give him to get him up and running. What the hell are you doing with Jackie Bradley? He's turned 30 this year, right? He's still being tested, right? Why does he get this massive opportunity? What are you doing with the little leader? I guess you're just going to give him a ton of time to get up and going, right? But not Blake Swihart, right? He doesn't deserve that. Doesn't deserve that.
Dave in Worcester with some Bruins thoughts today. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing? I hear people talking a lot. Hitting everything that's moving, and that's not the way to go. They need to hit, but they need to hit with a purpose. In the Islander game last night, Kunackle knocked someone behind the net really hard, which popped a loose puck to an open guy who then passed it to Brock Nelson for a score. They got to hit with a purpose. Even that tip fourth line of the Islanders, they don't just fly around hitting everything, and that's what I saw in the Bruins and Toronto game. There were just bodies flying everywhere, and that leaves too many openings for loose pucks or open guys to just stand there and take shots at Tuca.
Yeah, that's why people didn't put a lot of blame on Tuca the other night. Even though you'd like to at times. Can't do it if you're playing sloppy like that in the back end. Or if you're playing frantic-type hockey where you're scattered, you're all over the place.
Coming up in 90 seconds, the latest on the Patriots' schedule. We'll tell you everything we know to this point.
It's a long preseason, boy.
Woo. A lot of things in terms of times and dates and how things are shaking out on the Patriots schedule front. Also, they signed Demaryius Thomas yesterday. We'll tell you what the guaranteed money is. That's very important on that deal. All that coming up in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.